Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today. New Hope Radio, the Hope Club podcast as well. That's New Hope Radio on demand, any place good podcasts are found. Glad that you're part of our listening audience, because we're going to wrap up our series today on the life of David. We learned quite a few things, I think, from David's life. And the reason we brought you the series, remember, said our lives can parallel him like two railroad tracks going down the tracks, you know, that going in the same direction. A lot of the things that David experienced, in a way, we've experienced some of those same things. Rejection, loss, misunderstanding, things like that. You also know that he's one of the more popular characters of the Bible, right? It's good to study and read about his life in the Old Testament. When you hear the name David, you usually associate him with Goliath, Bathsheba, Jonathan, his good friend. As you read his story, you see his life had many ups and downs. Oh yeah. But in spite of David's sins and failures, the Apostle Paul, he leaves us in the New Testament with a commentary that really sums up the life of David, the way God sees it. Here's what Paul said. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. After he had removed him, King Saul, that is, after God removed King Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, here it is, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Think about that. Is that a compliment or what? A man that will do all of God's will. How'd you like to have that on your gravestone? Here lies so-and-so. He did God's will. She did God's will. I'll tell you what. That's a good testimony. That's a good way to be remembered. You know what God didn't mention in his word written by Paul? He didn't mention David's fighting skills, his brilliant rulership, not even his many wives. No, God leaves us with the thought that David cares about the things that God cares about. That's what he thinks about. Question. What does it mean to be a man or a woman after God's heart? What does that mean? The best I can come up with is what's important to God is important to you. And what's not that important to God, you know what? It's not that important to you. So you have to really think about it. Some of the things that are important to you, are they important to God? You know, the petty things, the things that bug us. So having a heart after God, I would say it's not having a lukewarm spirit. A lukewarm spirit is not having a heart after God. You know, here's what a lukewarm spirit sounds like. Oh, what will be. You win some, you lose some. Don't worry about, nobody's perfect. Talk about a cop-out. Nobody's perfect. Man. Rather, a man or woman after God's heart, you know what they say? If God says it, I want to do it. That's having a heart after God. If God says it, I want to do it. So let's take a look at some of the ways David can be seen as a man after God's heart. We're going to be in 2 Samuel. Let me set it up for you. Saul and David were similar in that they were both kings, but they were different in the fact that though they both made mistakes, Saul neglected the things of God. David didn't. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel. 30,000. Pretty good. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who was enthroned above the cherubim. So that's why they called it the Ark of God. Now, how much do you know about this ark? It's a wooden chest overlaid with gold. Inside, it contained tablets of the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, and Aaron's rod. Now, the Ten Commandments, you know what they are? Watch how simple this is. Rules to live by. I once did a message entitled, "What's Wrong with the Ten Commandments?" If you read them right, what's wrong with don't kill, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't take your neighbor's wife, don't take your neighbor's stuff, honor God? I'm like, what's wrong with that? Don't you think a society would be better off if they lived by those 10 rules? So that was in there. The pot of manna represented God's provision in the wilderness. Remember, he ran down manna every day, and they baked all kinds of nice goodies with it. Aaron's rod that budded, that was in there. Aaron's rod that budded shows that God's choice of Aaron and Moses to lead the people was demonstrated by a rod, and it blossomed. People were arguing, who's going to be the boss around here? And they didn't want Moses and Aaron. Everybody thought they could be the boss. It's like that sometimes, right? Everybody thinks they can be the boss. So God said, okay, we're going to have a contest. Everybody throw their rod on the ground. Whoever buds, that's the one, and that was Aaron's. So Aaron and Moses, they became the boss. So on the top of this chest, two angels looked down on the mercy seat that was right in the middle, where the priest would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice. So the ark came to signify the presence and the blessings of God. And it was so important to the Lord that he gave Moses very specific details on how to build it, and also how to make it portable so the Israelites could move it. They'd bring it through the wilderness. They were going to the land of Canaan. That was their central place of worship. So if you think about it, the ark was actually the holiest place on earth, since it represented the presence of Jehovah. Where the ark was, boom, that was the holiest place. God was there. When David took the throne, he realized that there was no Ark of the Covenant, which means then no central place of worship. And you know what the result was? The spiritual walk of the people had become mediocre, lukewarm, stagnant. Their hearts were anything but after God. You know what that's similar to? That's similar to quitting going to church. I had enough church. I went when I was a kid. I don't need that anymore. You know what happens? Your heart becomes like the Israelites. Mediocre, lukewarm, stagnant. You ever see a stagnant pond? A stagnant pond stinketh. Step in it. When we were kids, we played in those things. And we came out stinking to high heaven. Mud, yuck, guts all over the place. It was awful. So when you're stagnant, your heart is anything but after God. So one of the many reasons to go to church is to be in the life of the church. Anybody can hear a message, duh. That's not it. It's about being in the life flow of the church. Iron sharpens iron. Being part of the energy, the dynamic divine energy of the church. That's why you go to church. So David, he wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. Verse 3. They placed the ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which is on the hill. So this guy Abinadab, right? He's got the cart. He's got the ark in his house. He's got the cart in the garage. And he lives on a hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, they were leading the new cart. And they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio, not to be confused with Ohio, this is Ahio, or Ahio, was walking ahead of the ark. So we got the brothers right there out in front, kind of guiding the ark. The ark is on the cart. Meanwhile, verse 5, David and all the house of Israel, oh, they were celebrating before the Lord. Why not? We're bringing home the presence of God. And they had all kinds of instruments made of fir wood and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. We got this piece of furniture, and it was so special. It was absolutely holy. So much so that God even gave instructions, here it comes, on how to move it. God's like, okay, if you're going to transport this ark, you're going to do it my way. There's a special way to do it. Remember this, God has a special reason for everything that he's done and everything that he wants to do. And people question God, you know, God, why are you doing it like that? Well, that's a dumb idea. No, God knows exactly what he's doing. And he had the ark built in such a way that at each corner of the chest, there was a gold ring through which a pole would be slid through on either side. So can you see the rings in the corners? And they take this long pole, they slide it through the rings, one pole on each side of the ark. And then the priests would pick it up and place the poles on their shoulders. And no human hands could touch the ark. Okay? No human hands. That's why they had the poles. Poles went through the rings, up on the shoulder. Nobody touched the ark. And you know what we learn here? Every aspect of worship is important. Everyone. There's nothing we want. When God says do it like this, there's nothing you want to leave out. Okay? You want to do it exactly the way God wants it to be done. Now, this is where David gets into trouble. He wanted to move the ark, but he wanted to take the shortest route, the quickest route. So he got a new cart, like we said, moved it out. He took a convenient route, but it came at a high price. The convenient route was a bumpy route. Convenience, it's a sort of deception if you think about it. Right? Convenience always seems easier, but it's going to cost you more. Don't we have a store named like that? Convenience store? Oh, yeah. It's down the street. It's around the corner, but it's going to cost you more. You're paying for the convenience, right? Rather than drive a few more miles to the big store. So David taking the convenient route, thinking, you know, we're going to get there quick. But it was a bumpy route. And in verse 6, when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark and took hold of it. Why'd he do that? Because the oxen nearly upset it. Oh, they thought it was going to tip over that bumpy road. They thought the ark was going to fall right off the cart. Uzzah reached out and he held onto the ark. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. And God struck him down right there. Say, wow, he was doing a good thing. No, you know what the Bible says about Uzzah? He was irreverent. God struck him down for his irreverence. And he died there by the ark of God. Irreverence. See, reverence is very important to God. There's a difference between being sentimental and being reverent. And you know what this teaches us with Uzzah? The end doesn't justify the means. The end doesn't justify the means. It's not about, well, we reached the goal. God is interested. No, how did you get there? How did you get to the goal? I think of churches today. Okay, people are going to church and getting saved. Beautiful. But how is that? Is there reverence for God up until that point? is God being reverenced in the church? Well, people are being saved. No, the end doesn't justify the means how you get there. There's got to be reverence all the way through. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 7. He told certain ones who said that they served him, and they cast out demons in his name and did many wonderful works. And you know, Jesus said to them, I don't even know you guys. Depart from me. I don't know you. Hey, maybe you did do good things, but the end doesn't justify the means. You weren't with me. You know, that's what we try to be as a church. As a church, we try to make sure that we glorify God every step of the way. Not just at the end, but the beginning and the middle as well. You know, here at New Hope, we want everything to be reverent. We want the worship to be reverent. We want the fellowship to be reverent. We want the message to be reverent. We want the salvations to honor God, to glorify God. Everything's about honoring God. It's not about just hurry up and get there to the altar call. Oh, people get saved. No, it's not about getting people saved. It's about honoring God through the whole process. That's what it's about. So how do you do that? Even in your own life, whatever God has called you to do, you've got to be reverent. You do it by having a good attitude and by having a servant's heart. That's how. That's reverencing God. How do you know if you have a servant's heart? How do you respond when somebody treats you like a servant? That'll tell you. You get all flustered and bent out of shape when somebody treats you like a servant, then you don't have a servant's heart, that's all. A servant's heart doesn't rebuke back. Servant's heart gets it done. That's all. So Uzzah, he represents the man or the woman who does things sincerely, but not divinely. Now, David, you know what happened to him? He became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day, which means a place where he was slain. So David, yes, we know he's a man after God's heart, but that doesn't mean he's perfectly right all the time. No. But it does mean you're sensitive. And when you're wrong, you own up to it. So in verse 9, David was afraid of the Lord that day. It's like, whoa, God just struck that guy down. That'll take away some familiarity, won't it? And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? If God's going to kill people that are touching the ark when it stumbles, how am I going to get it home? David didn't do his homework. See how easy it is to run out and do God's work and yet not bother to see what the Word says on how to do it. The Bible tells us how to do the things that God wants us to do. And if we don't check with that, the things He wants us to do, we could do them wrongly, and guess what? That's irreverence. A man says, oh, I want to follow Jesus. Great. Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So what's he saying? You want to follow me? Good. You're going to stay focused. Somebody says, oh, I want to really love God. Oh, yes, I do. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and you don't hate your father, mother, sister, brother, your whole family, you can't be my disciple. And he's not saying hate them. He's saying love God more. Put God first above everybody in your life. That's what he's saying. Somebody says, oh, I want to walk with Jesus every day. Jesus says, beautiful. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, you got to pick up your cross. You want to walk with Christ? You got to pick up your cross. I don't want to pick up my cross. See? That's what I'm telling you. You got to do it reverently. It's all about God's way. See, what matters most is what the Word of God says. That's what matters most. Not what people say. People say things that are sentimental. God says things that are divine. There's a difference. How serious is God concerning those who are serving him? Hey, remember that couple? That lovely couple, Ananias and Sapphira? They didn't take God seriously, right? They gave a gift, but they lied about it. They gave some money to the apostle, But they lied about how much they gave and got... God pulled an Uzzah on them. He pulled an Uzzah on them and they dropped. Why? They were irreverent. Irreverent. Do we hear that word today? No. That's why we're hearing it today. Reverence is important to God. Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't take God seriously. Uzzah, he didn't take God seriously. Because they were told, don't touch the ark. He touched the ark. And he was struck down. When we begin to care about the things God cares about, we now become men and women after God's heart. Now, David didn't move the ark for 3 months until he could figure out how to move it. He eventually realized only the Levites could move it. And they had to use the poles. They couldn't touch it either. But the Levites had the responsibility or the calling to move the Ark of the Covenant. So once he realized this, they finally moved it. And they moved it successfully. And now here we go again. Great rejoicing. And David, he was dancing in the street. He was so happy. He was celebrating. But his wife, Michal, she thought he was undignified. Verse 16. Then it happened as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, if that's how you say it, I don't know, what do I know? Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And you know what happened? She despised him in her heart. Oh, ladies, don't do that. Don't despise your husbands. He was celebrating God. Oh, and she let him have it when he got home. Oh, yeah, she was waiting at the door. Verse 20, when David returned to bless his household, he's got good intentions. There she is, Michal. Oh, yeah, the daughter of Saul. You see, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Michal, the daughter of Saul, she came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants and his maids, as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." What did he do? He took off his royal robe. And he had his, like, undergarments on. And he didn't look or act very kingly. And she despised him for that. But he said he was celebrating the Lord. For the ark was brought back home. So we see this now. What's going on here? Well, there's some lessons to be learned. It's a matter of focus. David's eyes were on the Lord. Michal's eyes were on other people. Oh, she was image conscious. David was God conscious. See the difference? People in church are like that sometimes. People in church are image conscious instead of God conscious. Image conscious is irreverence. God conscious is reverent. Okay? That's a good word we learned today. Secondly, the better you know where you stand with the Lord, the freer you can be. When you know you're secure in God, you can be free. Freedom in God breeds confidence in self. David's actions affected his wife personally when they never should have. You know what? She's the one that wasn't free. She's the one that was in some kind of bondage. She was in the bondage of what other people thought. David was free to dance before the Lord, and he didn't care what people thought. He was pleasing God. I want to encourage you today. The little ringlets and the poles that go through them are very important. You know, you see that big chest, right? It's just got little rings in the corners and these skinny poles that go through them, but they're very important. And without them, you don't move. Practice being faithful in the little things. Practice being faithful. Not the big things, the little things. When you practice being faithful in the little things and you get good at it, you know what's going to happen? That will give you a heart after God. It will. Oh, it's going to turn. It's going to develop. It's going to grow. Because what's in the small print matters. It matters. Jesus said, whosoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. Luke 16:10. So let's say, oh, I want a heart after God. Do it in the small areas of life, the little details of life. Develop a heart of a servant. Get your eyes off self. Put them on the Lord. Put them on others. Be free. Be available. Don't make it all about you, because you know what? It's not. It's not about any of us. It's about Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus. Our lives are for Him, to Him, through Him, because of Him. Everything about us is related to Christ. And the sooner we can live that way, the sooner we'll find real freedom. And that's what reverences God. Hey, tomorrow we're going to start a brand new series. We're going to talk about compassion and Christianity. Because you know what? They go together. It's like you can't have Christianity without compassion. Think about it. So where are you in that mix? I think it might be helpful for all of us. I really do. I hope you can join me then. Next time we're here, the Hope Club podcast, New Hope Radio. Don't forget, you can get the Hope Club podcast. Just type it in, the Hope Club podcast. That's it. Anywhere podcasts are found, just type it in, you'll find it. Go to our website also, newhopecc.tv. Scroll down. All of our messages, they're right there. They're right there. Today's message, how to have a heart after God. Thanks for coming along. I hope it was helpful. And I'll see you next time.